from the KBUT studios in downtown Crested Butte, I'm Jackson Petito with your local newscast for Thursday, June 19th. A proposal to sell millions of acres of public lands in the West is drawing significant backlash. It comes after analysis from the nonprofit Wilderness Society shows even more land could be impacted than originally anticipated. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more on reactions from Colorado.
Around 250 million acres of land would be eligible for sale across 11 western states, including Colorado. Representative Joe Neguse, a Democrat from Colorado, calls it shameful.
It is a five-alarm fire for hunters here in Colorado, for fishermen, for conservationists, for recreationists, and for every Coloradan, folks who enjoy these lands and who are committed to preserving them for future generations.
Neguse credits bipartisan cooperation between Democrats and Republicans like Montana's Ryan Zinke and Western Colorado's Jeff Hurd for the defeat of a smaller land sale provision in the House version of the budget bill. This larger Senate version of the land sale has drawn criticism from both sides of the aisle, including from the conservative American Conservation Coalition, whose founder called it an anti-American action. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
And this is KBUT. Longtime Arizona water official Ted Cook was nominated to run the Bureau of Reclamation this week. KUNC's Alex Hager reports some are worried that Cook's background might bring bias to the main federal agency working on the Colorado River.
Cook is the former manager of the Central Arizona Project. That agency would be among the first to lose water in most plans for cutbacks to Colorado River supplies. Cook denies that he'll favor his former employer and says hiring someone like him with extensive Colorado River experience is a positive.
I don't really appreciate being prejudged by folks saying, oh, he's just going to be a lower basin or an Arizona partisan. I call that projection. If this is what someone else would do in my shoes, now I feel sorry for them, but it's not necessarily where I'm coming from.
Cook said he expects to face questions about any potential bias during his confirmation hearing, which has not yet been scheduled. I'm Alex Hager.
Colorado lawmakers are piloting a program to provide a public video feed of State House committee hearings. Colorado is the only state in the country that only provides an audio feed. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
When lawmakers meet under the Gold Dome, thousands of people follow what's happening remotely. For committee hearings, that means listening to an audio stream. Under a new pilot program, for a few months, certain interim committees will be set up with video. Jeff Roberts heads the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition. He says he thinks it's something the public will like.
Being able to actually see legislators in committee meetings is better than just listening to them. Sometimes you don't know who's speaking when you're just listening to them.
If legislative leaders want to make committee video feeds permanent, it would cost the state about $70,000 for the next legislative session. The Colorado Channel currently provides video and audio of House and Senate floor proceedings.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And this is the KBUT Newscast. This week marks National Pollinator Week. It's a time set aside each year to highlight the crucial role that pollinators play in everything from agriculture to healthy ecosystems. But it's not all celebration. As KDNK's Marilyn Gleason reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, many pollinators, especially bees, are facing serious challenges.
2025 has been an especially cruel year. In recent years, overall colony losses, or hives that don't survive from one summer to the next, have hovered around 50%. Experts estimate this year could reach new lows with 60 to 70% losses. Stressors like poor nutrition, mite infestations, viral diseases, and possible pesticide exposure are suspected. The Colorado State Beekeepers Association is one of the oldest organizations of any kind in the state. K.T. Thompson is the treasurer and director of the Master Beekeeping Program that started a few years ago under the CSBA's banner.
We had some pretty nasty colony losses nationwide last winter, and there's a lot to beekeeping. And the more you learn about beekeeping, the more your skills as a beekeeper are going to develop, the more you're going to have in your pocket so that you can recognize situations and have a method to manage things when you see them, or at least know who to call or where to look it up.
Bees have a fascinating life cycle, as a closer look at the short but complicated life of a worker bee demonstrates.
Most of the bees in the colony are worker bees, and worker bees, when they first start off and they're young, they have different glands that produce royal jelly that they feed to the queen and to the brood, the babies in the nest. And as they develop, those glands change. They also have wax glands where they make beeswax, and those develop and go through changes during their lifetime. So as those different glands and other parts of their bodies change as they grow and mature, they go through different jobs and different roles in the colony until they finally are old enough to go fly and forage and gather nectar and pollen for the colony.
All of this in just 3 to 6 weeks, the lifespan of a worker bee in summer. For KDNK News, I'm Marilyn Gleason.
And you're listening to KBUT Community Radio News. Thanks for tuning in.
Support for the Noon Newscast comes from the law offices of Elizabeth P. Appleton, PC. Beth's firm is a general civil practice, including real estate and property, business, homeowners associations, and more. Beth also serves as a guardian ad litem and child advocate. 349-6454 and Beth at epappletonlaw.com.